Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and on Tuesday, the editor-publisher of the Haitian Times, Gary Pierre-Pierre, was on our show, and he said something that might be a little shocking.
I'm going to be a bit counterintuitive here and tell people I think right now donating money to Haiti is not helping much. And by that, I mean the Red Cross, for instance, has kept a lot of the donations people are making to Haiti, because Haiti right now does not have the capacity to handle this aid. I know that a lot of people, you know, are heartfelt. They want to help, but right now organizations in Haiti are not using donations to help Haiti. They have basically what they need to give aid. What Haiti needs right now is serious investments in infrastructure development, job creation.
And that was Gary Pierre-Pierre, editor-publisher of the Haitian Times, obviously Haitian himself, an advocate for Haiti, saying some very provocative things about giving money and how the money is and isn't being used. So let's do a follow-up Friday segment right now. Also this week, international donors were meeting at UN headquarters and pledged more than $5 billion more dollars in short-term relief to Haiti. So with us to talk about this and follow up on the recovery economics is Adam Davidson, international business and economic correspondent for NPR and part of the Great Planet Money team. Hi, Adam. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So have you encountered a lot of people who agree with what Gary Pierre-Pierre said there?
Yes, it's a big theme. I'm going to tell your engineer that the mix minus isn't working. I'm getting feedback of myself, so it's hard for me to talk.
Okay, we'll work on that right away. She's trying to fix that, and maybe it's already fixed.
All right. No, it's not.
All right. Well, we'll do our best. Stumble your way through for the moment.
Okay. So, yes, I mean, I think the fundamental question, whether any particular NGO is doing a good or effective job, the fundamental question is this, I think, that Haiti is one of a very small number of countries in the world that cannot fundamentally sustain itself. I mean, even really, really poor countries all over the world can basically feed their population, you know, keep people alive, except in times of extreme famine. Haiti is dependent on the rest of the world. I mean, it has been forever, you know, for decades and decades. And it's actually getting poorer and poorer the more the world pays attention to it. It's about half as rich as it was 40, 50 years ago. So the Haitians are getting poorer just as the world is giving it more and more money. So there's something fundamentally wrong going on. And there's a view among many, many Haitians that now that there's going to be billions of dollars from the world governments, maybe a billion or so from citizens in the U.S. and elsewhere, will they leave Haiti in a position to, for the first time, really take care of its citizens? Or will they leave Haiti more dependent, more incapable of taking care of itself? These are not radical fringe ideas. These are things I hear from the president, the prime minister of Haiti, things I hear from the senior government officials, senior private sector people, and lots of just everyday citizens. In Haiti, on the streets, NGO is a bad word. They don't like NGOs. They say, we watch these guys. They come to town. They eat in fancy restaurants. They seem to do very well, and we don't see the impact. So, I don't want to say that about emergency recovery.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different issue, mm-hmm. and I think that there is, you know, there's been mistakes that have been reported, and full disclosure, my wife works at the U.S. Fund for UNICEF, but as far as I can tell, the emergency response, there's a lot of very good things happening, lives being saved, people being fed, etc. I'm talking about the overall structural issue in the Haitian economy, the role that the rest of the world plays in the Haitian economy.
So, listeners, we have a few minutes for phone calls from Haitian listeners in particular, 212-433-WNYC, with your contact back in Haiti, is NGO a dirty word? 212-433-9692. Do you agree with Gary Pierre-Pierre that organizations in Haiti are not using donations to help Haiti? And I think Gary actually was referring to the relief effort. He said in that clip, the Red Cross has kept a lot of the donations people are making because Haiti does not have the capacity to handle this aid right now. Haitian Americans, Haitians here, 212-433-WNYC. Is this the right conversation that we need to be having right now, or is this a distraction? 212-433-9692. And it seems that the Haitian government itself is well aware of doubts and worries. Here is Haitian Prime Minister Jean-Max Bellerive on NPR's All Things Considered yesterday.
You know, there is a lot of talk and preoccupation about transparency, a lot of preoccupation around corruption, a lot of preoccupation around competence and effectiveness. Now we have to prove to everybody that money can be used effectively and rapidly to the benefit of the population. I believe we are in a capacity to do that. President Clinton is totally willing and is available to work with us in order to make sure that the money is disbursed as long and as soon as we have the project to use the money.
The Prime Minister of Haiti, Jean-Max Bellerive, on All Things Considered yesterday. Adam Davidson, were you able to hear that clip? The Prime Minister kind of saying, yeah, he's aware of these concerns about corruption and competence. And he was pretty honest there. He said, we have to prove to everybody that money can be used effectively to benefit the population. But he said he thinks they can.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I was there when he said it, and you know, he's said it before. I think there's a bigger dimension. It's not just can we take this money and build roads effectively or build hospitals effectively, or will a handful of people get rich? I mean, look, yes, a handful of people are going to get rich. There is going to be corruption. That's just true of any major effort. You know, that's true of the bailout. When you spend several billion dollars in a very short period of time, even in countries with oversight, there's a fair amount of corruption. And certainly in a country with much more lax oversight, that's going to happen. To me, and I think to many Haitians I talk to, that's not the core of the issue. If you only focus on preventing even any corruption, mm-hmm. then probably nothing will ever get done. It's more, are you creating capacity? So if right now there's like one company in Haiti that can build roads, and they're not even that good at it. There's, you know, one or two cement companies. There's one or two companies that can do, you know, big level, you know, building power, building transformers and that kind of stuff. And so in 10 years, when all this money has been spent, will it have been spent like in the Iraq model or the Afghanistan model, where you give a lot of money to foreign contractors who show up, who build a road, maybe effectively, maybe cleanly, but build a road that no one in Haiti knows how to take care of? That's happened many, many times in Haitian history. Will you build an awesome hospital system, but it's not filled with doctors because all the doctors moved to Miami or New York?
So what would make it different this time?
Well, it's some counterintuitive things. Maybe you have to spend the money more slowly. Maybe speed isn't the key issue. Maybe maybe it has to be less efficient. Maybe you have to build into the cost of building bridges and roads and hospitals and schools the cost of building a Haitian population that can perform these tasks. There's no way that all of these tasks will be performed by Haitians. There's no way even most of them will be performed by Haitians. But maybe you embed in the contract you give to Bechtel or Halliburton or whoever, you know, you have to spend 20% training local Haitian people or building the capacity of local Haitian subcontractors, that kind of thing. But that's going to take time. It's going to mean money will be spent not in the most efficient way.
Let's get a couple of callers in here. Stephanie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stephanie. Stephanie, all right. Stephanie, we'll come back to you. Let's try Renal in Flatbush. Renal, can you hear me?
Yes, good morning. Brian, there's a Chinese proverb that say that it's better to teach people how to fish instead of giving them a fish a day. So in the short term, of course, we need donation in Haiti. Someone is starving. Of course, we can buy them food with donation and take care of the homeless. But in the long term, of course, that's where the IPRP is right. In the long term, you got to give them a job and educate them so they can take care of themselves.
So do you think that the long-term NGOs, who would all say, I think, that they're not just there to hand out fish, they are there to teach people how to fish and, you know, foster development, not charity, that they haven't really been doing that? Are you angry at NGOs?
Yeah, because I travel to Haiti. I see those guys, they eat in fancy restaurants, they travel in limousine, and I see them, believe me, those guys, they live like kings. So there's a lot of corruption in NGOs too. So I don't believe in that kind of culture of dependency that they foster.
Renal, thank you. Stephanie, let's try again. You're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Okay, great. Yes, I think one issue that's not being addressed is the fact that, you know, NGOs have been in Haiti prior to the earthquake for a long time. And Haiti is a very small country. It's been populated by, you know, the NGO industry, if you think of it that way, has been hiring more people probably, or at least rival the amount of people that the public, the private industry is hiring. And so they actually have a lot of power in Haiti, and they don't consider that. They don't consider their collective power, and they don't consider the fact that they need to take responsibility. They only consider themselves responsible to their donors. And the fact that they're only individually responding to their donors, it prevents them from being able to sort of work as a force and really take that power and own it and take responsibility for.
But what would you say to some of our listeners who are some of those donors and who are some of those NGO employees who would say, wait a minute, these are the most earnest people in the world. You know, these are the people who could be working on Wall Street, but they're choosing to work for pick your NGO and go to places like Haiti and try to turn things around, that this is not the self-interested cadre of human beings.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I think it takes a lot of courage and, you know, a lot of goodwill to actually go to a different country that's not yours and care about the people that are not your people. But I do think that it's necessary for us, if we're going to help, that we do it without letting ourselves off the hook. And so, yes, okay, go to the country, help, but also consider, you know, find the best way to make that help effective. Mm-hmm. Because if you're just helping and it's really about alleviating your own conscience, then it's not really helping. It's sort of like being counterproductive and a waste of resources.
And Brian, can I jump in?
And Stephanie, thank you. Adam, go ahead.
I mean, I think your image is partially correct. And you go to Haiti, you know, I've been to Haiti a lot since the earthquake, and you see the exactly what you imagine. You see camps filled with the most earnest, wonderful people from all over the world working really, really hard, genuinely saving lives. And that is a correct image. But there's another image I would put in your mind, which is the permanent NGO industry. And here we're talking about many NGOs that are technically not for profit, but their employees make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. That their work is funded by very large government contracts, and they have an embedded economic incentive, not really to put themselves out of a job. There's a lot of literature on this. This is a well, you know, researched mm-hmm. area, and you know, these are people I meet who are not what you're picturing. These are people, you know, and there's certainly plenty of decent, you know, a lot of these people are mm-hmm. decent as well,
right.
But
so
they're not.
All this goes on, and we're almost out of time, Adam, but in the context of what you were there to cover this week, which was this international donors conference or that was also going on, is something going to be different now?
I don't see a huge amount of reason to think something's going to be different. There's more money going to Haiti than ever before, but that could just mean Haiti will end up being more dependent on foreign money, more structured around capturing that foreign money, you know, the government figures, you know, focusing their attention on getting foreign government money rather than providing services. There's a lot of talk about how it's going to be different this time. I don't know what to build that hope on, I got to say. I do have that hope. You spend time in Haiti, you hope. But I don't know how to think about that hope right now.
Adam Davidson from NPR's Planet Money and their international business and economics correspondent. Adam, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
And we will continue, of course, to cover the Haiti aftermath. Next week we'll talk about whether Port-au-Prince should be broken up, not rebuilt as it was, but rather have the population decentralized. That's a hot-button topic down there, and we'll continue to talk about the Haiti situation on this show and serve our Haitian listeners and everybody else. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. But when we come back in a minute, we are going into the weekend here. We've worked hard on things like Haiti and the recession, and Afghanistan this week. So now, just in time for opening day, two editors of Baseball Prospectus, where jocks and math geeks find something to talk about together. Stay tuned.